This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Hecker.
I'm Lisa Karnick.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Let's talk today about Twitter. Specifically, what happens if you leave a media operation and you've got a Twitter account, you've got a lot of Twitter followers? Jasmine, who do those belong to, the station or to you?
I think that has to be clear right from the beginning with whatever social media strategy that station is employing. If they are requiring you to have a Twitter page, then they should make that, make that clear, and that maybe should be their property. But if you already have this Twitter page and they're asking you to change like the Twitter handle to brand the station, then I think that you own that Twitter account. So I don't think they should be able to come back. And if you leave, take that away from you.
I think it depends on if they're hiring you for you or for your brand. I mean, I'm sure some people have a ton of Twitter followers because they work for the New York Times. So people think they're not tweeting the person, they're tweeting the New York Times or NBC or whoever. But I think Jasmine's right. You have to set those perimeters at the outset because we were reading an article on the Poynter Institute's website about some cases where people have left news organizations, journalists with thousands of Twitter followers, and they want to keep their Twitter handle.
Yeah, this is not just a hypothetical. I mean, this is a question that's actually been raised in the industry.
Oh, yeah, this happens all the time. I had my Twitter account before I became a news producer in Ohio, and I still have that same Twitter account. I used it quite a bit for news purposes. I adapted my Twitter for news purposes when I worked there. But when I left, I kept my Twitter handle because it wasn't the brand that I worked for. It was just producer, @producerJasmine. And I kept that, and I still have that today. Other employees have dealt with situations where they've had to close their Twitter account entirely. But again, that happens. Usually it's a lot more clear with the station where, you know, they're asking you to create this Twitter account, where in my situation, I'd already had this Twitter account ahead of time.
This kind of reminds me of the intellectual property debate that happened 10, 20 years ago, specifically, I guess, when David Letterman left NBC for CBS, the discussion over what items from the show belonged to Letterman and which belonged to NBC, the network. For example, the top 10 list. Whose intellectual property is that? Does that belong to Letterman or does that belong to NBC? We've seen he carried that over to CBS, so apparently that was his intellectual property. But this debate about Twitter followers kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, and you know, when you're working for a newspaper, the intellectual property is all the newspapers. I mean, photographs that our photographers took for the Springfield paper, they all belonged – they were all property of the State Journal Register, and same with my stories. So, you know, I can keep copies of them. But now with social media, I think it's become more complicated. And like even with not just Twitter but blogs, I mean – journalists have their own blogs, and when they leave, do they take the blog with them? And I mean, Jim Romanesco is an example of that. Of someone, he had a blog on the Poynter Institute website, and they parted ways, so he took his blog with him. So,
you say with the newspaper, all that stuff, the articles you wrote, the photos you took, they all belong to the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So if you went someplace else and you wanted to lift a quote, for example, from one of your old stories, you would not be allowed to do that. Or I think more likely would be a photograph you might want to use, even as sort of just a stock file photograph, mm-hmm. something you wanted to use. You'd have to go out and take another photo. You could not use that one, even though it was a photo you took.
Right. I mean, I was not a photographer, but the photographers in the film days, they could not take their negatives with them. The mm-hmm. negatives were the property of the newspaper, and now I'm sure it's the same with digital images. So, yeah, if you wanted to reproduce it, well, anytime you want to reproduce anything like that, you have to get permission.
Well, that kind of makes sense to me because you're going out with equipment supplied by your station or your company and taking these pictures. So, and they're, you know, providing whatever means to develop that film and that kind of thing. But when it comes to a blog, when it comes to something like Facebook or Twitter, who owns that? You know, if anything, Facebook or Twitter might end up owning that. But I don't see the station being able to claim that site.
I actually think it seems back in the day, yes, you would use these newspapers' cameras and photography equipment. Aren't some reporters now being told you have to, you know, just use your iPhone and take a photo? So then whose property does it become if you still have that image on your iPhone when you leave? Is it really the newspaper's property or should that belong to you as the photographer, as the reporter?
Well, I know a lot of stations will provide you with phones and smartphones like that and iPads. So they don't have to use their personal equipment. A lot of stations don't like people to use a personal equipment unless they have to. So they do like to provide that kind of thing.
Do either of you see this changing over the years in particular? I guess let's get back to Twitter and Twitter followers. Do you think this is going to end up in the courts and the judicial system will make a decision on who owns Twitter followers?
I think we're going to be seeing it in the next couple years because a lot of media companies did not have a clear social media strategy when this became popular, when Twitter and Facebook became popular. I know some of the last stations I worked for didn't have a very clear social media strategy. It was being developed while I was there. So many of us already had Facebook and Twitter pages, and we were able to take our Twitter accounts and leave. I see things becoming more clear as they figure out what they really need to do with these social media accounts.
And as they decide they want to avoid lawsuits.
Right.
Because this article mentions one case that already went to the courts in 2012. This journalist, Noah Kravitz, who worked for Phone Dog. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of before that. Before
don't act
this
like
article,
you don't know
so.
Phone Dog, Lisa.
And he had 17,000 Twitter followers, and when he left the company, he changed his Twitter handle and took his followers with him, and he was sued by Phone Dog, and the case was settled out of court, but he ended up keeping his account, and I think it just shows the, as Jasmine was saying, it shows the need for having clear policies and expectations mm-hmm. when a journalist is hired.
All right. It is clear to me that we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.